Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Quick at work right now. Talking to the Democrat leadership that gets their campaigns funded by these insurance companies, and I sure hope it works. I think that meteorite that hit the Gulf of America millennia ago that wiped out the dinosaurs is Trump care, and it's going to wipe out the dinosaur that's Chuck Schumer. I think Schumer's days are numbered, as everyone else does. I think AOC will take him on in the primary and beat him like a drum. Yeah.
So that's Tim Burchett, otherwise known as Tim. Remember that when George Santos got freed from prison because he was offered clemency by Donald Trump, and George Santos's lawyer listed out all the people they wanted to thank, and it was like, I'd like to thank Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tim. And he just retweeted that and he said, like Beyonce or Madonna or something like that. But his name is Tim. Tim Burchett is the Senator Kennedy of the House.
He's becoming that for sure. Yeah, he's made a name for himself.
He's the one who stood in front of that Burger King billboard during the No Kings rally and ate a Whopper. It was like,
I didn't see that.
No Kings here. Yeah, I think he was wearing the cardboard crown.
He's the one that makes fun of that staffer that walks along beside him and tries to get him to stumble. I don't know if
he tells him to go like back to his mom's basement and stuff like
journalist
that.
Or something. He's got to be like 21 years old.
He looks like I'm trying to think of who not to offend here, how I say this. He looks like a guy who would be the manager, I'll just say this, like in a paper factory. Let's go the office.
Okay. I think you've successfully achieved that.
Like, he just looks like his name is Tim. And he's super funny. And he's super quick on the helm. And I think he's done really, really great things to try to cut through the noise and message in a successful way. He's talking about Trump care in that clip. And I would like, Ryan, you to verify to the people that I have been talking specifically the parallel roads of healthcare and higher education. That everybody's always talking about, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? Nobody's ever talking about why it costs so darn much. We've been talking about that for a long time, right?
That is a consistent point on the Annie Fry Show from Annie Fry.
For years.
Yeah.
I think I was talking about that when I was still on Saturdays. And before we get to our guest here, the thing that blows my mind that has been too difficult, it's not something that's ever talked about, but it does seem like it's starting to be discussed, is that if we're only ever talking about how the taxpayer is going to pay for all of these things, and we're never talking about the actual cost, the skyrocketing, outrageous cost of healthcare, but also at the same time, in that parallel way, the cost of higher education, And then we're making it so the government will pay for whatever those places charges. Why would the costs ever go down? And if the government is guaranteeing taxpayer dollars to fund things that have no free market competition to keep the prices under control, then the taxpayer dollar is going to be spent in an out of control way. And you are here on that timeline.
And that is a huge topic of discussion right now in the political world.
And it needs to be. It's really actually, we've been arguing about stupid things for so long that this is something that's gotten way out of control. Let's get to our friend Dory Murdoch, who joins us once again. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and Fox News contributor. He's got a piece on this in the Daily Signal, which I encourage you to check out. Dory, welcome back to the show.
Any great to be with you again.
So what do you think about the healthcare system right now? Everyone's talking about, like, how are we going to pay for this? The Democrats want to continue their subsidies on the subsidy of the Unaffordable Care Act, and that just seems to be a non-starter for many fiscal Republicans. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, this was supposed to be a temporary subsidy tied to COVID, and this was passed in 2021, and there are quotes from Nancy Pelosi and from Schumer and everyone else saying, hey, this is temporary, it'll just be a couple of years, and the legislation says it will run out in 20, I think originally it's 2023, and then I think it got extended to end of 25. And now they're basically saying, oh, the Republicans are taking this away. Well, the Democrats proposed it. The Democrats said it would be temporary. This is not a Republican idea to cut this stuff off. They're basically having a tantrum over something that they designed and they created and they asked for, which is kind of crazy. And I guess sometime tonight, I guess the House is going to vote, and I imagine that shutdown finally may end. Mm-hmm. But I very much like, and this is what I discuss in my piece in the Daily Signal, as Schumer shutdown comes to a halt, Trump proposal could turbocharge patient power. He had a great idea over the weekend. It's something I've been advocating. I think you and I might have talked about it a couple weeks ago. Rather than give this money to insurance companies, to whatever degree we're going to give subsidies to people, we should give it directly to American citizens, give it directly to them as patients and consumers, and then let them go out and buy whatever insurance they like. If they like Obamacare, they can keep Obamacare. If they want to buy catastrophic plans, they can do that. If they want to be able to buy association health plans, let's say put up by the Rotary Club or by the Junior League, whatever it is, that ought to be legal and permitted. Rand Paul of Senator from Kentucky has a great idea, which is let Amazon and Google and Sam's Club and Costco and Walmart sell insurance. Now, if you're a member of, let's say, Amazon Prime, which has got, I don't know how many millions of members. I think Costco has 44 million members. Wow. If they were able to sell, let's just say that half the people bought their insurance through Costco, it's 20 million, 22 million. You walk into an insurance company and say, look, I'm representing 20 million people. Show me your prices. And you go, nope, too high, too high, too high. And all of a sudden they say, fine, we like the volume. We'll cut the prices. And all of a sudden you'll see prices coming down. Right now, basically what it is the insurance companies sit there and somebody at the Treasury writes a big fat check to Cigna, a big fat check to Aetna, a big fat check to Blue Shield, Blue Cross, what have you, and nobody competes with them. They just sit there and wait for the checks and wires to be delivered from the Treasury Department, and there's no competition there. So just like we have with food stamps or we have with Pell Grants or anything else, give the money directly to people, let the people shop and buy what they like. That competition will give people lower prices and more choice, more freedom, and that's why President Trump is pushing and why the Democrats are against it, because they don't like things like freedom and choice.
Yeah. You know, I think, Dory, this article that you have in the Daily Signal that I want people to read, a Schumer shutdown comes to a halt, Trump proposal could turbocharge patient power. This really is a very America first policy that could be put into place. And we haven't been talking. It's all of the sudden, you know, and I give credit to the Democrats who are willing to take paychecks away from all of the government workers for making this an issue that people care about once again. And mm-hmm. And then also at the same time, give credit to those Democrats for highlighting that their solution was to continue to throw more taxpayer money that they take out of your pocket to try to make you believe that it's more affordable, which is a total lie. Now Donald Trump has a platform to talk about how to actually solve the system. We spent so much time in the last, how many years, 4 years, 5 years, talking about stupid lawsuits that they're throwing at Donald Trump. Joe Biden's entire administration was a Green New Deal nonsense. None of these things that actually help American people. The conversation seems to be back where Americans would actually feel the benefit of this kind of policy should it be put in place.
absolutely right. I mean, this is something very concrete that will be very helpful to people, people who don't have insurance, people who have insurance but are paying too much. And I think this is a very positive thing. And what's ironic about it is that basically what Trump is saying is, look, we're for the subsidies. We just want people to have them in their pockets rather than have it sent to the CEO of you know, some big insurance company. And Democrats say, no, don't do that, don't do that. Well, don't you want to help the poor people, help the needy people and folks who need assistance? And I think that in particular, it ought to be structured so that if you like Obamacare, you can keep it. And then let the Democrats stand up and say, no, if we do that, people are going to run away from Obamacare. Oh, so you're telling us Obamacare doesn't work, are you? You're telling us it's actually a failed program? So it really puts them in a corner, because if Obamacare is as great as they say it is, they shouldn't worry about it, because people get the money from individually and they'll run back into Obamacare. Maybe more people will run into Obamacare if it's really such a wonderful program. I doubt that will happen, but you know, that's what people want. I guess that's their choice. But I think the Democrats understand people would rather have insurance that's closer to whatever their actual needs are, mm-hmm. needs of themselves, their families, and loved ones. And they'll pick Obamacare, but a lot of people probably pick other things if they have the options and if they have choices. You know, one of the things that drove me crazy about Obamacare is the mandated benefits. So if you have an Obamacare plan and you're, you know, 23, 24-year-old guy out of school, your Obamacare plan includes maternity benefits and fertilization benefits. Like, what is this? Why are you paying for that? Now, if you're 35 or 40, you're trying to, you know, raise kids, maybe that makes sense. But if you're right out of school, you don't need that. Why are you paying for that? You know, it's like you just want to get a basic, ordinary transportation to get to work. And someone says, well, you've got the Maserati, we have the Ferrari here. Which would you like? You know, I want to buy a Honda. Can I just get a Honda? No. You got to get a Ferrari or a Maserati. And this is one of the things that makes Obamacare so expensive, because every time you add, you have to have dental care, you have to have hearing care. One of the things that was included in Obamacare was pediatric dentistry. So dentistry for kids. So if you've got to pay in your plan for the dental care of children you don't have, if you don't have kids. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have kids, fine, that makes sense. If you don't have kids, or maybe you don't want to have kids, you got to pay for dental care for children you either don't have or don't even want to have. And that costs an extra, who knows how many dollars a month. And that just sends your premiums up. That's because I assume somebody from the Pediatric Dentistry Association wrote a big fat check to the Democrats and said, all right, we've got to, you know, make sure that this lobby gets paid. So they threw that in among the mandatory benefits. And so that's in every Obamacare plan, which is absurd and ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, and Dory, I think that the elephant in the room that really does need to be called out specifically on a political front as this conversation continues to unfold and people start getting a little more into the wide variety of options that could be available to the American people is how the system right now is not set up to benefit the person being provided the health care. It is set up to benefit the insurance companies. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, guaranteed insurance companies' clients. And I don't know any company who's guaranteed that everybody has to be a client in some way, shape, or form that's going to be like, I should lower my prices. The whole system was set up upside down to not benefit the people who, you know, the Mr. Hope and Change put all this together and tried to sell it to the American people as a warm and fuzzy socialized healthcare path. And it turned out it really benefited the man, the capital M man, more than probably anything else that President Obama was able to accomplish. And Donald Trump has the ability to undo all of that and actually be America first, taxpayer first, and give people the opportunity to choose a little bit more when it comes to their health care.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And you know, let's start calling this Trump care. Maybe that's the word for this, Trump care. The whole idea that under Obamacare, you're guaranteed consumers, you're guaranteed patients. Imagine, you know, you as a broadcaster, me as a broadcaster, and also as a writer, if we're guaranteed, okay, you know, every time you talk in a microphone, there'll be 500,000 people listening. Or every time I write an op-ed, I'll have, you know, a million people read it. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't operate in that situation. We operate in a situation where we have to compete. We got to be interesting. We got to be timely. We got to be easy to find. On the dial for you, and you know, in websites people can track down easily for me. But you know, in the world of the left, you know, rather than let people compete and actually have to create a product, a service, a broadcast, op-ed pieces that people like and want, we'll just give this to you. You're guaranteed. You don't have to do anything. So if you're guaranteed, why knock yourself out? Why be innovative? Why be clever? Why come up with anything new or interesting if you have yourself basically a captive audience, which is what Obamacare is to a large degree.
Yes, completely. Well, Dory, we always are grateful for these types of conversations. And I love when we can talk about things that are actually policy based, that mm-hmm. really matter to the American people and not just the political slap fights that the Democrats have had us talking about for so long. This is refreshing.
Well, it's good to talk about slap fights from time to time.
Every once in a while.
Who doesn't love a good slap fight?
The spice in the pie, for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. All right. Great. Talk to you.
Thank you soon. Bye-bye. Our YouTube live chat poll for today. We're going to have, it's a little fill in the blank action for you. I voted for Trump and fill in the blank. He's exceeded my expectations. He's met my expectations. He's failed my expectations. Or I didn't vote for Trump. Go to the Any Fry YouTube channel and let us know what you think by voting there. You can also leave a comment for us. Josh said, fantastical, still loving Trump, if admittedly a little concerned about the increasing market intervention. So a thoughtful but positive review there. Crystal said, to be honest, I hoped for, expected more, but I am okay with things accomplished so far. And like that, this administration is making great efforts to be civil and work with the opposition. I think that's a great reaction as well. Jack said, I voted exceeded expectations. Never thought the BBB would pass. Democrats are so TDS, they would spite their nose to save their face. Completely bonkers. Fight, fight, fight to the detriment of the USA. Jack, welcome back. Good to have you here. And then Doug, simply failed expectations. Where do you land? Go to the Any Fry YouTube live chat and tell us what you think. Vote. Leave a comment. We'll be right back. We're going to have Jessica Vaughn here in just a few minutes, about 10 minutes from now. She's the director of policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. We're going to talk a little H-1B visa. What is it? Do we need H-1B visa workers in this country? Is there a period of time where we need to shift mentality where that's going to look a little bit different than the end goal? I don't know. Let's talk to an expert about it at 1:30. We'll be right back.
Is it cool that I said all that? Is it chill that you're in my head? Cause I know that it's delicate. Is it cool that I said all that? Is it too soon to do this yet? Cause I know that it's delicate. Isn't it?
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
For years, 20, 30 years, we have offshored precision manufacturing jobs. And the president's point here is, we can't snap our fingers and say, you're going to learn how to build ships overnight. We want to bring semiconductor industry back to the U.S. There are going to be big facilities in Arizona. So I think the president's vision here is to bring in overseas workers where these jobs went.
Who have skills.
Who have the skills. 3, 5, 7 years to train the U.S. workers. Then they can go home. The U.S. workers fully take over.
So do you understand the concern that some people have? Hey, an American could have that job. Why you give it to a guy from India?
But an American can have that job.
So because, it's specific skills.
Because we haven't built ships in the U.S. for years. We haven't built semiconductors. So you know, this idea of overseas partners coming in, teaching American workers, then returning home, that's a home run.
So when you listen to Treasury Secretary, IRS Commissioner Scott Bessent there talking, does he have other jobs? It's no Marco Rubio.
No, he seems like he does, but I can't remember.
Thug.
Yeah, he's the muscle.
He's the muscle of the administration. Does that make sense, what he's saying about the H-1B visas, that there are people who are, we have not built these, we have offshored so much production in our country, which is the problem, that the people who do these things have been doing them elsewhere. We have not been training American workers to do these jobs. So to say Americans are going to do these jobs now, fire all the foreign workers, we're putting Americans in there, the product would suffer. To a great degree. So what he's saying, that didn't he just say there that we would train American workers
to
take over?
Yeah, that's what he said. I liked what he said there.
Are you panicking about this?
I don't know why that's that big of a deal. He clarified it better than Trump did, I think, and maybe that's why he was sent out, is to clarify these things.
I think Scott Bessent uses periods in his sentences.
He does. But I also see why people are going, well, why not make that the focal point? Because what he's saying is very practical. There's nothing wrong with what he's saying. It's just that the message usually from this administration is America first. Here's how we'll get there. And it was like this time they did it in reverse. Here's how we'll get there to get America first. It's nothing wrong with it. It's just the message is kind of different than usual.
Do you feel like the people who have been wrapped, I don't want to say wrapped up, because I would put myself in that category probably as well. So I don't want it to be like an us them on the right side of the aisle. But do you feel like there are people who just don't have the required patience that it takes to watch government work at the glacial pace that it's working at, even in a Trump administration? Like, things are going pretty fast, in my opinion, faster than I actually expected. But there are people who are still working hard on trying to squeeze out the last drop of patience that they have because they just don't think the president's getting enough done.
Yes, that's a fact. But I can also tell you why I think that is a fact and why it's happening right now. Typically, at this point in a presidency, you're just past the election. You're not quite a year in. At this time in 2021, for whatever reason, you also saw the media start to really turn on Biden temporarily. They would criticize him. They would say things that they wouldn't say in election season. And then at about March, when the next primaries are starting, they start to circle the wagons again. I think that's what's happening with the influencer section of MAGA right now, that there hasn't been that bombshell that they've been waiting for, I've been waiting for. There hasn't been the bombshell that somebody comes out and says, well, here's how Russian interference, here's how we made that up, or here's how the 2020 election was stolen, or something like that.
Do you think that if it would have been the day before Election Day in 2024, and someone would say, this time next year, Comey will have been indicted, Brennan will have been subpoenaed by a grand jury, and Strzok and Page and all of those, like the 30 subpoenas that would have gone out, like less than a year in, that John Bolton will have been indicted. I guess, has Letitia James been indicted? She's been indicted, right? In mortgage fraud?
Yeah. Yes.
Adam Schiff, has he been indicted?
I haven't seen that he's been in mortgage fraud, wasn't it?
I don't know if he's been indicted yet, but there's a grand jury, like he's under grand jury investigation. Like if somebody would have said to you the day before Election Day, 1 year from now, all of this will already be in motion, I would think people would be like, are you serious? Whoa.
Yes. Well, so the point you bring up is good because this stuff takes time and they're moving pretty fast on these criminal indictments and of big major players that we've known their names. We've known, you know, kind of the whisper campaign of what they were doing. And now it's actually happening. I will say, though, that the influencer crowd that we're talking about, they would have said, why wasn't it done day one? Which is unrealistic.
Because you don't even have a confirmed FBI director, attorney general. Like, they slow rolled all of this stuff. And I don't want photo op arrests. Mm-hmm. The worst thing I can think of is Comey walking out in handcuffs with a smirk on his face because he knows this is just for show. What the Democrats did was just for show. It all crumbled underneath the weight of itself. I want the converse. I want all of the substance to be below the surface so that as you get a hold of it, you realize, oh, this thing is deep and we're going all the way down. The surface level photo op arrests and people in prison, they have to be rightfully detained, and they only should be rightfully detained if they're going to stay there. And if they don't have the goods, folks, like how much stuff could the FBI that was hiding things in burn bags and closet space, how much stuff could they have corrupted along the way? Why would it be beyond belief that the information that our current Justice Department and FBI have access to is corrupt information? They have to be able to prove all of that. And I don't want it unless it is air freaking tight. The rest of it is just politics. There's law and order, there's justice, there is nobody is above the law, and then there's politics. And politics is spinning people to see things the way you see them, but more importantly, feel things the way you want them to feel. And I'm done with feelings. I want substance. I want what is real. And if you can't get to the provable evidentiary fact of the matter, then we don't have it. Of course they covered their tracks. So it's going to take a lot of work, and we're not even, 10 months into this presidency? Calm down, Ryan. I'm tired of your crap.
I think apology is in order, and it is my fault that all of this has happened, and I'm sorry.
Ooh, that's evergreen.
No, it's not.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll talk to Jessica Vaughn about this whole H-1B issue that's up right now. Because President Trump is not, I think another thing is the 600,000 Chinese students that are being allowed to come into the country. Why is that happening? That's another issue. But the H-1B visa workers, people are saying put Americans in that job. And I think that we're all saying put Americans in that job. But I don't want unqualified Americans. That's like inverted DEI. We need qualified people, right, to do all of these things. So let's train Americans. And the second that they're trained, get them in the jobs. But if they're not trained, don't put them there just because they're Americans. If we have a process where we're bringing in vetted people who are contributing to the society that we're living in, there has to be an off-ramp or an on-ramp. I guess it's a half glass, half full thing. Jessica Vaughn, an expert, a director of policy at the Center for Immigration Studies, with us next.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This love is getting kind of dangerous. Feels like it's a loaded gun. My mind stunning like a cloud of dust. My heart always wants to run.
If you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
agree,
of foreign
but
workers.
You also do have to bring in talent. When
well, we
a country
have plenty of talented people
no,
here.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
We don't have talented people here.
No, you don't have certain talents, and people have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles, or I'm going to put
How did we ever do it before?
Well, let
when
me
you
just,
and I were
I'll give you an
up.
Example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants out. They had people from South Korea that
Hyundai.
Made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing. It's very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people, early stages, to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years, and they're going to start making missiles.
So President Trump speaking in an exclusive there with Laura Ingraham, and the H-1B visa issue has become a very hot talking point. I will highlight before we get to our guest here that Laura Ingraham's asking about these H-1B visa workers and the need for American workers, the first thing Trump says is, I agree with you. But then he goes into an explanation as to why it's not as easy as flipping a switch. So let's get some basic information about what the H-1B visa program is and where it should go in an America First direction, if maybe Laura Ingraham is right on this one, or maybe the president is. Jessica Vaughn joins us once again here, Director of Policy at the Center for Immigration Studies, to talk to us a little bit about this. Jessica, we welcome your expertise here on our show. Thanks for being with us today.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. Can you just give us, like, for somebody who's heard H-1B and has no idea what that means, talk to us, like, super basic at first, and then we'll get into maybe what should come up, what should happen next.
Sure. The H-1B visa is a temporary work visa that was designed and sold to Congress and the public as a way to allow companies to bring in skilled foreign workers who had at least a college degree to meet temporary labor shortages in areas where there were spot shortages or not enough Americans who had the skills that companies needed to meet demand for whatever product they had. And it's usually most often associated with the tech sector. However, the way this program works in reality now at this point in time, and it has for decades, is that staffing companies, primarily from India, have used this visa program as a way to bring in workers, primarily in the tech sector, but in other areas as well, and with the explicit purpose of replacing Americans, like selling their product, which is workers, to American companies to lower their labor costs and replace American workers with the cheaper visa workers, and who were willing to stick around at a lower rate of pay because they have the opportunity possibly to get a green card after the temporary visa expires. There are a lot of problems on why this doesn't work out very well like that right now, but that's what it's become, that these people don't realize the extent to which this program is dominated by staffing companies, body shops, whose explicit business model is to bring in cheaper workers from abroad to replace American workers. Now, there are legitimate uses of the H-1B program. Sometimes companies are able to, identify a worker overseas that has some unique talent that they are willing, that they're hoping to acquire on a temporary basis. But that's now they can hardly ever do that because the staffing companies dominate this limited number, for the most part, of H-1B workers. It's also become a way for employers in the higher education industry to, because they're exempt from the annual cap on these visas, so they can also bring in cheaper workers to do certain kinds of functions and replace their American staff and get away with lowering their labor costs.
Okay, so that's a really good foundational understanding of what the system was set up to do, but then also how it's kind of lost its way. I was going to ask you, is it cheaper? Can an American company employ the H-1B? Just, I've got option A, and I've got option H-1B. And if option A is American and H-1B is somebody who is here foreign, who has the ability to perform the job, it is a better bottom line of your balance sheet financial decision right now, incentivized to hire the H-1B visa. Is that basic?
Most definitely. And it's actually, that's not quite the decision they're making. Like the U.S. company is saying, oh, I've got this Indian staffing company who's telling me that they can replace my data center employees and run it at a much cheaper cost. So it's not like I'm going to choose this individual H-1, but yes, they're choosing them in groups. They're choosing to outsource the hiring decision to a staffing company that's going to bring in almost exclusively workers from India. Mm-hmm. You know, there are other countries that participate as well, but usually it's an Indian-owned staffing company that brings in workers from India, and it's not one worker that gets replaced. It's usually, you know, an entire office of people.
So let me ask you this question. We're speaking with Jessica Vaughn, who's the director of policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. Is there a very positive, beneficial use for the H-1B program in the United States of America? And if there is, what would that look like?
Well, it's possible to conceive of a way this program could be helpful to companies. I mean, I think it's good for American companies to have access to global talent. But to do that, to prevent the abuse and replacement of American workers, we need to keep the numerical limits. And once there's a limit, we should be offering these visas to the companies that are willing to pay the highest salaries. And that way, it's unlikely that they're going to be using them to replace Americans. They're going to be looking for those individuals with special skills, talent, expertise. And also, we need to make it temporary. Right now, the first visa is for 3 years, and they can renew it once. Hmm. And then they can stay indefinitely if an employer offers to sponsor them for a green card. If we want this to be a temporary work permit, we should say, okay, you can come for 2 years. You can extend it for two more after that. And, you know, then your employer, you know, if a visa is available, should be able to sponsor you. But if not, you have to go home.
Sure.
And that way it's not like a pipeline of new immigration. It's much more limited to individuals, not groups of people. And, you know, the employers have to pay for that talent that shows that they really want it and that there may actually be a shortage of that particular expertise. And, you know, it's just not going to have as much abuse as happens now and in lower numbers.
You're listening to Director of Policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica Vaughn is speaking with us right now. So let's talk a little bit about what President Trump said there in that conversation with Laura Ingraham. She was basically taking kind of a hard stance, which I understand for the sake of asking a question why she was doing it. She was saying, like, get rid of the H-1Bs and put American workers in there. We've got American skilled workers. They should be in there and they should be doing the jobs. And then he took the example, which is an extreme example, but probably still fits into the context of a much more complicated situation than maybe a 30-minute conversation asking a bunch of other questions can bear out. He said, you can't take somebody who's been unemployed for 5 years, pluck them out of the unemployment line and put them in the factory line to make missiles. So that is an extreme example as well. I would like to know what you think about what President Trump is saying. It seems as though he's heading in the direction towards prioritizing American workers, but he's saying we can't just upend the entire H-1B system that we have right now. There's going to have to be a process. Do you think that that's accurate?
Well, I actually think Laura was closer to the truth than the president, although, you know, certainly the situation he's talking about does exist.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who's to say? I don't think we can bring in foreign workers to immediately begin building missiles either.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons, security reasons among them.
Good point.
I think the president is hearing from employers that they have trouble filling certain kinds of jobs. And I think that can be addressed through training programs, through more recruiting, for not allowing employers to become dependent on visa workers. And I think Laura's right that the issue is to prevent Americans from, especially in some of these specialty occupations, from being on the unemployment line to begin with at all, because they were replaced by visa workers. You know, we should just make it harder for employers to do that. It was never supposed to be a program where Americans got replaced by H-1B workers, and that is exactly what it was, though.
The president
knows that. I mean, he's sat down with people who were fired by Disney, for example, when they replaced their whole tech staff with H-1Bs. He knows that happens. I think he just thinks that's the exception. And he's looking for a way to make sure that employers can get access to that global talent. But there are other visa programs for that. And there's a way to run the H-1B program, which he started to do, by the way, with this $100,000 fee that they're putting on top of it. So that's going to help, but that's not a real comprehensive solution that's going to take care of all the problems.
Jessica Vaughn speaking with us from the Center for Immigration Studies. Is there a point in our political timeline here with different administrations coming and going? Is there a point where this system, where the H-1B visa thing took a drastic turn and we started seeing it flood into the country? Was there a specific moment when that happened?
Yes, it was in the 1990s, specifically when you might remember the Y2K issue that people were worried about it. And at that time, we actually had a shortage of tech workers that were needed to prepare American companies and governments with, what everyone was worried would be some kind of meltdown on January 1st.
A lot of anxiety went into that sucker.
Yes, and we did have a shortage at that time, and you could tell because wages were rising in the tech sector. Mm-hmm. So Congress actually opened the floodgates on the H-1Bs and allowed something like triple the number to be admitted over a period of several years. And a lot of those workers have never gone home, and yet the demand does not exist for them. I think the real problem is allowing this staffing company model to dominate the visa program in the way that it does, when that exists purely for, replacement with cheaper labor purposes. Mm. I think there's a way to get it back to a useful visa program through regulation can start, but really Congress needs to make this fix permanent. I'm not holding my breath for Congress to do anything
so,
nowadays.
I completely agree with that. And I think that I'm glad that it's part of the conversation right now. Like the necessary thing that needs to take place is people need to be upset about it. Experts like yourself need to be heard about this. And then, of course, the president needs to be advised smartly about this. Do you have a solution in mind? Like, where is the target to kind of take the system as it is right now and cause it to come crumbling down? I mean, is it an elimination of those, job banking services? That is that the answer, the fix for this? Where do you start?
I think that's one answer, is to try to write the third party staffing companies out of the equation and see what happens when individual employers then get access to this visa program. That will start to make it more like the president thinks it is. And also to, kind of auction these off to the highest bidder. He's a big believer in the free market. And I think that would show. I mean, we've done research that shows that the vast majority of H-1B workers are classified as trainees and entry-level workers and making lower salaries. That right there should tell you that these are not the best and the brightest. These
right.
are the cheapest. And his agencies could write regulations that would raise the wage requirements for this program, and that would make it more difficult for these staffing companies to make a profit off of this. But I think they should be written out of the equation and demand that employers be doing this individually on their own for specific individual worker needs, not for, like dozens and dozens at a time.
Real quick, before we let you go, we're speaking with Jessica Vaughn at the Center for Immigration Studies. Do you believe that the president is near, like from a policy standpoint, is he around the solution? Is he anywhere adjacent to near the right solution? Maybe he just hasn't gotten to the one that is like fixable, applicable yet for this. Or do you feel like he needs to do an about face on the H-1B issue?
Well, I think he needs to listen to more than certain employers. He needs to listen to young people in this country, like people who are graduating from college now and graduate school and realizing that certain jobs are simply not open to them in their field of study in STEM because employers are choosing, foreign workers instead. The young voices are really very strong on this, becoming stronger and stronger as the realization grows that, you know, the STEM career that they were told that they should pursue is not a viable option for them. Mm. I think that would help.
I would think artificial intelligence coming in and taking other jobs that are available to people, entry-level jobs that are available to people, too, would cause a need for some of these potentially to be back of interest to the American worker, hopefully.
Yeah, that's true. It's we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. That's a big unknown right now.
It is.
Is it going to create a demand for certain types of skills in to develop these programs, or are a lot of people going to be replaced by it? Hard to say.
Well, Jessica, your knowledge base here is fantastic. Thank you for talking to us about this issue. We look forward to hopefully having you back, as this issue is certainly going to continue to be top of mind for the administration and for the country, and we'd love to have you back.
Oh, thanks. Anytime.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Jessica Vaughn, Director of Policy at the Center for Immigration Studies, talking with us there about the H-1B issue that Laura Ingraham really made top of mind for people in this conversation. So the YouTube poll for today, I voted for Trump and fill in the blank. He's exceeded my expectations. He's met my expectations. He's failed my expectations. Or I didn't vote for Trump. You have an answer for this one, Ryan?
Yeah, I do. He has met my expectations. The problem is he has set a pretty high bar for himself.
Yeah.
In the speed with which he works and gets things done.
Joe Biden set a pretty low bar.
He did.
That caused a lot of things to need to be resolved.
It's such a swing of the pendulum. But he has maintained that speed in this. Now, I didn't know exactly what this would look like. Nobody did. But I don't think he's taken the foot off the pedal. There's just some of those big marquee things that we've talked about already, even in this hour, that haven't come up as, justice served yet for certain issues. And I'm not being vague on purpose. I'm just saying there are like a few of them that haven't made the news cycle yet. And it's because they're still in progress. And to me, we really shouldn't judge him based on those things. He's moving fast.
I also think that you can't not acknowledge the left's use of the legal system still to just drag this down. I mean, the government shutdown is a premier example of obstruction. Because that's all they can do. I'm not sitting here saying if the Republicans were in the position that the Democrats were in, which was the first 2 years of President Biden's, right? Didn't he have everything? He had everything.
Yeah.
For 2 years. I mean, that was so devastating. 2020 was such a devastating election for Republicans. If the Republicans were obstructing, in some cases, that's all that they could do. But you wanted to know that they were doing it for the right cause, like that there was a purpose for it. And looking at the Democrats shutting down the government for, was it 54 days? Did I say it was 54 days? 45 days? I don't remember.
Well, today isn't, but I think by the end, when it ends, it will be.
Okay, I saw 54, whatever. But to shut it down and for them to walk away with nothing just shows that they're not in the business of legislating, and if they're in the minority, Annie, can they really legislate? You can fight for something. There's got to be something out there that you can agree with some of these Republicans, because the Republicans are a pretty dynamic group in Congress right now. They do not agree on everything. There are populists. There are some traditionalists. There are fiscal conservatives. There are libertarians. There is something to hang your hat on that if you wanted to get something done and then champion that they couldn't have done this without the Democrats, you could do it. But that's not what the Democrats right now want to do. They want to halt everything in its tracks, and that's the best they can do. They hold on tight. And if you're looking at what the president has been able to get done in 9.5 months, you have to factor in how much obstruction has taken place by the Democrats for this long. More YouTube poll conversation next. Don't go away.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
and
it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.